The foot is a privilege.
It's never been bigger.
Oh, big atmosphere.
More massive moments.
What about that?
Every massive match.
The energy, the electricity is building.
Massive!
For McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Ah, round 15. We kick it off here at Marvel Stadium tonight. Thursday night footy. It's the Bombers and the Giants. The bye rounds, they're over. And the race for the finals is now on. What a massive night for the Bombers. Their finals hopes are hanging by a thread. And the informed Giants have won four of their last five games. They'll play their first game here this year at Marvel Stadium. David Zaharakis will play his 200th. And Marty Gleeson returns for the Bombers after being out a couple of years with injury. And, just a panel of superstars. As always, before the game, this man, two-time All-Australian Tiger Bulldog, Nate Brown, calling the action. G'day, Brownie.
G'day, Baz. It's going to be a fascinating game, this one, to see where Essendon at. We know where GWS are at. They've got an amazing midfield, but a lot rides on this game. If you're reading the papers, that it may be John Worsfold's last one if they don't do well, which is a little bit harsh, I thought.
A little bit later on, the former Cat and Bomber, James Kelly, who's now the performance coach for the Bombers, will join us a bit later on. And Brad Miller, the former Deemer and Tiger, the forward line coach for the Giants in our lineup. Joe Montagna, good evening to you. You're two-time All-Australian superstar. Welcome back to the footy.
Good evening, Baz. Good to be here. Looking forward to the game tonight. Looking forward to seeing the Giants here at Marvel Stadium. I believe it's their first game at Marvel Stadium for the year, Baz.
It is,
so looking forward to watching them play under the roof. We know they've got great skills and they'll put on a show tonight, I think.
Mickey Roberts will be here a little bit later on with a chew man as well. But plenty to talk about, and it's great to have this man with us in our pre-match tonight. He knows more about the business than the Archives themselves. Jay-Z Clark, a very good evening. Massive night for the Bombers, and in particular for their coach, Johnny Worsfold.
Yeah, it is certainly one of those games where there's massive ramifications. I could feel it could really go one of two ways for the Bombers tonight. So I think the fan base would be on edge tonight, because if they can genuinely contend and compete against one of the best sides, one of the best midfielders in the competition, then it's a big tick. But equally, if they get blown away, then will be really difficult for Essendon to make finals and for them to fulfil their potential, because this is a side at the start of the year that we all thought was going to make finals. And that sort of felt like it was the pass mark. As it stands, they need to win 7 of their last 9 games, Brownie, to make the top 8. And it's going to be very difficult if they don't do it tonight. So I feel like it's the Bombers are on edge tonight, fellas. And they have been hit and miss to at this point.
They have been. I think their best game of the year was in a loss against Collingwood on Anzac Day. That was an amazing game of football. We all looked at it and thought, Essendon have turned the corner. This is the Essendon that we've come to expect. They lost this game, but they got admirers in the process. But since then, they've been up, they've been down. Look, I wouldn't be surprised if they won this game tonight, because that's what Essendon do. And equally, I wouldn't be surprised if they lost by 10 goals tonight. Giants are a very good side. To win 7 of 9 in the back end of the season, I think, would be very hard. So yep, if they can't win this, I don't think they play finals anyway. But, I mean, if they lose this game, definitely finals off the table. And if they did sneak in, I think they're making up the numbers anyway.
Joey, what frustrates Essendon fans from the talks I have with those fans is that Essendon's very hit and miss. And they don't know what to expect week to week. You've been doing a lot of work on the game plan side of things with Fremantle, obviously, this year. Can you tell us and tell Fremantle how Essendon want to play each week? Because I'll be stuffed if I know how they work.
Yeah, I think it's right that their system doesn't seem to be one that stacks up week in, week out, like teams that win finals and win premierships need to play. And from what I've seen this year, Essendon, I think, are a little bit of a one-trick pony. Their style of football is pretty obvious for the world, the footy world, to see. When they get that run off half-back, when Sard and McKenna and McGrath and Merritt are able to get some overlap run through the corridor, they look dangerous, they look exciting. But for me, that's something you can take away from the opposition. You can crowd the corridor, you can put some work into their run off half-back. And I've seen a number of games this year, if that's taken away from the Bombers, what's their plan B?
Last week.
How else do they score? They struggle to find other avenues to score. They're not a team that locks the ball in their front half and can score from weight of numbers of just sometimes, like, say, a Western Bulldogs or other teams that lock the ball in their front half and give themselves opportunities. They're not a great scoring from clearance team. They don't sort of have the big bodies in the midfield that, you know, that can score from stoppage. And I think that leads to inconsistency. I mean, I think sometimes too their effort and their pressure, because they can be a very good pressure side, and they have shown it in a lot of games this year. But when they don't have that and that drops away, I think they struggle with a plan B, and I think that's what's been frustrating a lot of Essendon
supporters. Joey, this new word in football is system-based football, and you do the opposition analysis for Fremantle. And just for listeners out there who might know what a system-based game is, and I'm sure there's plenty of people out in the office works at the water coolers who talk about system, and they think What is a system? I don't really know, but certainly you know, for the listeners out there, what is a system-based game?
Yeah, I think it's hard because we watch a game of football and we think it's so random, but it's actually quite organised how teams want to defend and how you want to score. And we can look at, as we spoke about, you can defend by wanting to press up high numbers in your front half and lock it in, but you might be vulnerable and you might get scored against at the back. You might have a system like Geelong that keep their defenders at home, they play safe, they very rarely get scored against, and they open up the ground. And the way you want to score and the way you want to move the football is quite system-based. You look at the Brisbane Lions. They're very much, everyone knows how they play. They play wide. They kick to a contest. They've got some tall forwards, the two ruckmen, and then they get their little fellas at the fall of the ball.
Predictable.
And it's a predictable. That's what system is. It's predictable that how you want to play as a team. I think Essendon have a system, but I just think it's one that that doesn't stand up week in, week out because the opposition can take it away from them, and it's not a system that we've seen work in finals. We've seen teams that win finals and grand finals have a system where it's more played in your front half, it's more a bit more congested rather than this sort of run and talent-based football off half-back.
Can you imagine a young accountant being at the accounting firm tomorrow morning? He's just listened to that on his way home. He watches the game tonight and someone says, what's wrong with the Bombers in the morning? And he goes, I'll tell you what. You're not playing a good system-based game. And people at the office go, gee, he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, and you saw that even last week, the West Coast Eagles. I mean, Mark Hutchings went and tagged Adam Saad off half-back. I mean, that's a very unusual tagging role, but that was how much the West Coast Eagles have scouted. We know if we take away Saad's run off half-back, that's going to give us the best chance of winning. And we saw that absolutely last week, and other teams have done it as well. So you're right, Brandy, though. There's every chance tonight. Saad and McKenna and McGrath and Zaharakis and Merritt get off the chain and they can play some great footy under the roof and they'll look great and they'll score. And
it's an if, isn't it?
It's an if. Exactly right. It's not what you know you're going to get. You go and watch other teams this year and, you know, Fremantle or whether it's even the Western Bulldogs, a team that aren't doing, they're losing games, but you know what you're going to get from the Western Bulldogs. They've got a lot of numbers around the footy. They get a lot of ball. They get it inside 50. They're just struggling to score. There are a lot of teams that have a system that you know what you're going to see. Essendon, it's hit and miss for me.
Tell you what, we'll stick with the Bombers team, Jay-Z. Bomber Thompson, it's been a really tough week for him. We won't go into the specifics of that. That's been played out, of course, in a courtroom. But he's one of Essendon's favourite sons, over 200 games, a premiership captain, of course, coached the two flags at Geelong. Just to look from the outside in with what's going on is just horrific, I think, for certainly a lot of Essendon people, and no doubt a lot of Geelong people as well. It's amazing to be watching this. This is not something that you would ever expect.
Reading some of the court transcripts, you just genuinely could not believe what you are reading. Here is a premiership hero of the Essendon Football Club, and at Geelong, you know, one of the most revered coaches in their history, basically taking ice, allegedly, with a bikey on his couch week after week after week. And so the judge says to him, mate, a bikey knocks on your door, is a strong, muscly, bald man, and you let him in and he can't go. He starts breaking into things in your house. Like, just what a bizarre situation. And so Bomber goes on to explain that he couldn't get rid of him and one thing led to another.
Charming.
Charming, very charismatic guy. I mean, it's just absolutely bizarre what's happened. But Bomber really blames it all on the supplement crisis. You know, he said he thinks about it every day. He can't believe that, you know, the game that he loved and that he cherished, you know, had fallen so far in terms of the drugs crisis. So he'd really struggled with that, and that's what he says led him to this downward spiral. So we hope his life is on track now. But
of course we do. But there were so many people involved in the same saga, and obviously people handle things differently. Other people haven't gone down that path.
Fair question. And Bomber went on to explain that basically cut himself off from all of his footy friends. So his social support network, not vanished, but he just shut them out. So in those troubled times, he's got no one to turn to except for the bikey on his couch. But you're right. I mean, lots of people have reached out to him, Brownie, and he ignored those people.
Yeah, but in saying that, it was a sad... A lot of other people involved, I mean, even James Hurd, have had their own issues with dealing with the Essendon saga. I mean, even Joe Watson, who was, you know, went through a stage where he almost resented football. Like, so as much as we say, okay, maybe some other people haven't gone down the path Bomber Thompson's gone down, there are still others in that football that were involved at that club at the time that have really struggled with dealing with what happened and the fallout from it all. So, you know, sometimes, you say bizarre. I think the word sad for Bomber, that you're right. The football community is such a great community to be a part of. When you fall out of it and you slip through the cracks, Baz, like what happened with Bomber, probably by his own choice because he was a bit disgruntled and it's led him down this path.
People tried to help him though, didn't they?
Of course they did.
And his behaviour, even at Geelong, became erratic, and yeah. they're on the record about that. So possibly it did start before the Essendon thing in some respects.
Unbelievable coach, though. I mean, his record will go down as one of the best ones. And, I mean, people say, will it be tarnished? You can't tarnish a record as good as that. That's always there, written in black ink. He was an amazing coach, won premierships after premiership. And we just need to remember him. He's going to go on, but we need to remember him as the great premiership coach he was.
Absolutely. Sam Draper, one more on the Bombers, JZ. Yep. Now, a second-year rookie. They're starting to circle. He's got the knee injury. What's going on?
Hard to believe that St Kilda can table a $1.8 million deal.
I read this from you in the paper.
For a bloke who hasn't played a game, Brownie.
Nearly choked on my wheat.
He used to play soccer. He's done his knee. And we've never seen him out there 1.8. In an AFL game. Ruckman, what's becoming clear...
The next Max Gorney must be.
What's becoming clear, you blokes, is that Ruckman are getting really hard
they
to find.
They were dead 5 years ago, Ruckman. Nobody wanted them. They said they were a blight on the game, and now they're paying...
In another life,
1.
Brownie,
8.
We'll come back as Ruckman.
How frustrating for Essendon. So they get this bloke, taken with the top pick in the 2016 rookie draft, that developed him, paid him a bit. They want to pay him $2,250, what you'd normally pay an untried Ruckman.
Yes.
But old Gubby Allen just... throw a grenade and he might leave.
But Essendon can, if they promote him onto their senior list next year, they can keep Draper, can't they?
Yes.
They still get first rights on Draper if they promote him to the senior list?
Yes, but he has got to sign a contract there for probably less. I mean, Essendon aren't paying him $450.
Do you do other sound effects, or is it just the bomb one that you come out with?
It was a grenade, and out of 10, how did you rate
it? I liked it. I thought it was okay. That's what I said. Have you got anything else in your repertoire that you do?
The Giants on the park. Steve Canilio, JZ, will play his 131st game here for the Giants tonight. But a fair bit of talk about his future at the moment.
Yeah, he's the most sought-after player in the game at the moment. And you'll get a very good look at him tonight. Look, we speak to the Giants every couple of days about this man. And always saying, particularly recently, very confident he will stay. Things are bubbling away nicely. It could be a 5 or 6 year deal on about $1.1, even $1.2 million a year for Stevie Canelio. But it's fair to say that West Coast are right in the market. Carlton is very keen, and Hawthorn also. I think St Kilda's probably the next tier down. I don't think they're a chance. But
does that get you into a bidding war? Are you paying more for Stephen Canelio? Are you looking at maybe 1.3, 1.4?
Yeah, but is that going to be enough? Is that going to be enough to prize him out? Like, I think if he knows he's going to make more than $1 million a year. So I think for Stephen Canelio, it's more a lifestyle choice. He's the next captain of the GWS Giants, I think. And if he makes this big commitment in the next couple of months, then he will be the next captain probably next year.
What are your thoughts, Joey? I mean, you're looking at $1.2, $1.3 million a year. You can get two really good players for $600,000 or $700,000 a year. Harder to get them in because you've got to give up more picks and more things have got to go your way. But putting all your eggs in a basket of a midfielder at 1.2, 1.3 seems a hell of a lot for me. And personally, I'd prefer two really good players around the 600 or 700 mark.
Yeah, I have to disagree with you, Brownie. I think the way the salary cap is going, $1.2 million is not as big as we think it is. I mean, if you look into the project in the next couple of years, you should be able to afford nearly two players on your list of $1 million. And I think we've seen the way footy's played these days. You need your best five or six players. You need them to be elite, and they help you win more games, I think, than any other time in football. So I don't mind paying big money to get a superstar into the club. And I agree, I don't understand what you're saying, but you know there are some players, and Jay, you know they're on $600,000 that aren't necessarily the biggest superstars in the competition earning that sort of money now. You've just got to be a very good player.
I would have thought someone like a Steel Sidebottom would be on around $700,000.
But to lure them away from that club, you're going to have to pay closer to $1 million.
If you're going to bring in, maybe, but if you're going to bring in two style of Steel Sidebottoms compared to one Stephen Canelio, if you did it right, I'm saying that is a pretty good option.
Yeah,
as well.
And it's hard to do. It's very hard to do. I'm happy to pay big money to get a really good player to your football club.
Potentially the difference with Canelio, or certainly talking to the Giants, is that they think he's the heartbeat of this footy club. So he's the Patrick Cripps for them. So when you're talking about that inspirational leader and that next captain for the next 3, 4, 5 years, you know, he's one that they are really keen to keep.
And I think success plays a big part. I think Steve Canelio's been through this club, you know, the foundation of trying to build up to be a successful. He wants to win a premiership, I think, at this club. That would change for me, a little bit like the Andrew Gaff decision. A little, if the GWS Giants were to pull it off, maybe
win the flag.
Win a flag, there might be an opportunity for him to leave and say, well, I've achieved what we've all set out to do that are still at the club, I can go. Maybe if not, I think he might want to, as you said, for a few $100,000 less, and we're talking big numbers, he might want to stick around and try and win a premiership. Go down in history, Brownie, as the first 22 to win a premiership for this club. I think that would hold more weight than a few extra $100,000.
So you think he stays at this point?
I think my gut feel would he'd stay at this point.
Yeah. All right, talking about superstars, James Kelly, of course, with the Bombers. And James looking after, he's the performance coach for the Bombers, 313 at the highest level for himself. And for Bob Jane Teamart for the first time tonight, let's go down to the great Miggy Roberts, the former Victorian state representative. G'day, Miggy.
Thanks, Baz. Love that intro. It's fantastic. But I tell you what, most clubs with coaches are under the pump, unbelievably. But you look at Essendon, the circumstance now, a lot of media trail leading into this game. You have to win, really, tonight to aim at the finals. And also, you've got a massive month looming too.
Yeah, well, obviously every game's important, but you know, with the media sort of the engine that drives the AFL at the moment, so you can't ignore that sort of stuff. You know, but as a coaching group and as a playing group, we just stay focused on what we can control, and coaches and players have been saying that forever, but that's no more important for anyone than it is for us right now. We just focus on what we can control, play well, train well, prepare well, and give ourselves the best chance to win.
And for that to happen, the midfield's got a fire. They got smashed last week. And real positive, though, Zara Arcas plays his 200th.
Yeah, great for Zaka. You know, he's been a good player for a really long time now, and a great teammate. He gives a lot to the younger players. Constantly in the midfield office, just talking through edits with the players and teaching them how to play, especially through the wing and a little bit of half-back and half-forward, and really giving of his time, and a really good clubman, a really good teammate, and we hope we have a really good night for him tonight.
James, Jay Clark here, mate. Now, just between us, who are you going to send Dylan Clark to? A couple of handy midfielders on the other mob tonight. Is it Steve Canelio? Josh Kelly's been in red hot form. Who's he start on?
Well, I don't know. Maybe any one of them. Hopper and Taranto as well. And look, I'm not going to tell you, but it's fun to debate, isn't it? It's one of those ones. You know, Hopper's really good inside, and you take that out, and then Kelly and Caniglio get off the chain. Maybe we'll put him on Hopper, and then when he goes off, he can roll into Caniglio, and when he gets tired, we'll roll into Kelly on the wing. But, yeah, all very important players for them.
You're never going to answer that question, Cal.
I get asked this question the last few weeks when Clarkie's been in the team.
Yeah,
I'm genuinely just not going to tell you, but it's always good to talk about. It's good for people listening. You know, there's probably people in the car on the way here thinking, oh, who would you tag? Who would you go to? Then the debate start. Who's better, Caniglio or Kelly? Oh, do you reckon Caniglio's going to stay?
You reckon Leon Cameron's listening? I don't think he is, Cal, to be honest.
Probably not, but I don't trust some of these people down here.
Cal, I think you reckon you've got him earmarked for Josh Kelly anyway. So we'll see if we're right. Mate, I want to ask about, has round one been spoken about this week? Because obviously it was a really disappointing start to the season for the Bombers. Have you referred to it? Have you looked at any clips? Has it been spoken about, or have you completely wiped it because it was so long ago?
I think we've completely wiped it now. It's so long ago, and when you sort of serve up a performance like that, there's actually not really a lot you can take from it. We feel like we know how GWS play anyway, so there wasn't a lot of stuff we wanted to look back on. And teams subtly change throughout the year, so we're more focused on GWS's more recent games, and we don't want to bring up how we were in round one. We're, you know, a different team now than we were back then, and we just want to focus on what we can do tonight.
Cal, there's a lot of names associated with things like captain, vice captain. I know what a development coach is. Can you explain a performance coach?
I don't know, mate. No, it's the performance coach model that Woosha runs with is that you know, everyone's a performance coach, and everyone just has their own areas of expertise. So, to be completely honest, I don't understand it, only being a new coach for a couple of years, but it's a system that's working really well for us at the moment, so it's good.
We're speaking to Essendon performance coach James Kelly, and a very good one at that. Hey, Kel, is there an update on Joey Danaher? So he's had surgery on his groin. Is he back at the club? Is he doing rehab? Is anything ramping up at this stage, or is he going overseas for a holiday?
he's still in a bit of a holding pattern at the moment, Joe. He's had his surgery, and I think he's, off the top of my head, I think he's actually due for a review with the surgeon in a week or so. Usually after that first review is when rehab starts, start building up the strength and all that sort of stuff. So I actually don't have too much detail for you, sorry. But as far as I know, he's just doing not much at the moment, trying to recover from the surgery.
Cal, what can we expect from the Bombers tonight? Describe how you want to see this team play. For all the Essendon fans in the car, driving home from work, when they sit in front of the telly tonight, what can they expect to see from this Essendon outfit tonight?
Well, I think Essendon fans just want to see us be hard to play against. I think our defence has been pretty solid for, you know, a few weeks now, bar last week, obviously. But I think we want to be hard to play against. We want to be really strong around the ball and put as much pressure on GWS as we can when they've got the ball. You know, we do those sort of things. The attack takes care of itself. If you turn the ball over in good parts of the ground, it's easy to score. Our defenders have been really good this year. We don't want to rely on them to turn the ball over for us. We want our midfield to turn the ball over. So if we can do those things, I think it'll go a long way to us winning the game.
James, a massive night for your club tonight. All the very best up against a quality opposition. The Bombers are at their best when their back's against the wall. Good luck.
Cheers, guys. Good call.
James Kelly down there. It's true, Brownie.
Is it?
It's true.
The Bombers are at their best when their backs are against the wall.
When was the last time they're at their best when their back's to the wall?
You're not commentating the BFL now, mate.
I know. I've got to just...
You're not sitting up at the Curio Grandstand.
I like your enthusiasm.
Yes, I have to keep it tempered. Plenty to talk about still, Jay-Z. And plenty to talk about in regards to your old mob, Joey, the Saints, and the coach, Alan Richardson, and the coaching merry-go-round, as we see this time of year, always happening. But there's a fair few names being touted at the moment as possible changes, and he's one of those. Yes.
Sorry, Barry, say that again, mate.
Alan Richardson.
Yes, he is. Excuse me, Barry's talking to our producer. He is under...
I thought you died. I expected to turn Joey on the ground. What happened then?
I was just talking to our producer on the other line. Please excuse me, Baz. Alan Richardson is under a lot of pressure, really. I mean, it does appear like his cards are marked in a way, unless there's a massive reversal of fortunes in the second half of the season. So, look, it's going to be difficult for him. And clearly the big knock is that St Kilda has been unable to beat top eight teams. So I think they've beaten, we did the numbers, Joey, nine teams over the past six seasons above them, which is really the big knock at this stage. So he's going to have to beat finals teams on the run home, starting with Richmond, of course, on Sunday. But that's the issue, and I don't expect Alan Richardson to be at St Kilda next year, to be honest.
Teams have been selected for the remaining round of matches.
That's
a couple
what I was
of massive changes.
To our producer about. Yes, so when you said changes,
relaying
sure.
a couple of those.
Yeah, and a big one at Carlton, we have to start. So Patrick Cripps is going to be out for 1 or 2 weeks with a foot sprain, Barry, which is a huge blow. He has carried an enormous load, but he's going to be out along with Harry McKay. So two of their most important players missing for that road trip to Fremantle. It's fair to say, huge blow. And also Jared Rufford, so the beloved Hawthorn veteran, recalled back for the game last weekend. Only had 9 touches against the Swans. He is back out of that Hawthorn side. And Alistair Clarkson instead has turned to Oliver Hanrahan to make his debut against the West Coast Eagles on Saturday. Hawthorn needing to win 7 of their last 9 games to make finals. It's going to be a big ask for them. But without Jeremy McGovern and Tom Barras in the West Coast back line, maybe that opens up a glimmer of hope. You think West Coast win that at the end.
You always give Hawthorn a chance at home. I'm surprised. Well, not surprised they dropped Roughhead. I thought he had his moments last week, but it's been a few weeks now where they've bombed the football in. They haven't had a target to kick to. Segler's been their main man down there, who is a very good ruckman who rests down there. I think McAvoy is very good as a ruckman who rests forward, but they just don't have a target to kick to. And it's a shame that Ruff's out, but he's been a wonderful player.
So do we think, Brownie, that he may only come back for a farewell game from here? Is it? I mean, they played Gold Coast round 22 at the MCG, and I wonder whether that could be a farewell game for a Paul Puopolo, Jared Rufford type. But
Lanny Clarko knows that.
Yeah.
And
it doesn't look good for him, does it?
Is he a sentimental sort of person? He's been able to move on some pretty good players who he didn't think we'd probably move on. So it'd be great to see Jared Rufford out there again. But if he's not, I'd imagine there would be a few clubs having some interest in and around Jared Rufford for next year.
Hawks crowds are a little bit of a concern at the moment. The Hawks lowest since 2006.
Yeah, so they're hovering around average 30,000 for home games. So that is the lowest since 2006. And it's a combination of two things. One, a really poor fixture, dud fixture. They've got one Friday night game for the year and a host of Sunday matches. And they're flagging on-field performance. That's got to be a factor too. But the Hawthorn fans not turning up like
they've been spoiled, let's be honest. Yeah. They've been spoiled. And now their team's not going so well. They thought, we've seen all the flags. We don't need to go and watch them anymore for a few years. So they've been spoilt, the Hawks fans. Baz, they've had a good run.
All right, let's talk some GWS with their forward line coach, the great Brad Miller, joins Mickey Roberts down on the boundary line. Thanks to Bob Jane T-Marts.
Thanks, Baz. And the Giants are out. They've just come out, so they've been inside and they're just getting a feel for the green stuff. But Brad, the Bombers, they're going to come hard at you because they need a challenge. They've been challenged all week. They've got to perform. They're going to make a statement. They're coming.
Yeah, we expect that. You know, they want to go quick. They're obviously a bit off last week. They're going to go real quick. This deck looks amazing, and we've just got to slow them down at all costs, force it into a contest, and then get the game on our terms rather than let them play their way.
Matty De Boer's a big blow for you, a big hole, probably the best of the caper at his position. How's he going? How's he travelling?
Yeah, it's a nasty one, so he's going to miss a fair bit of footy, 6-8 weeks. It was just awkward way that it landed, and he actually landed on the joint, and he's done a bit of damage, but he'll be right. Towards the latter part of the year, maybe around 20, around 21, he should be looking to come back. And he was actually fulfilling a really good role for us, so he'll be sorely missed with the midfield.
Brad, how's Josh Kelly going? He's almost been one of the form players of the competition over the past 6 weeks. I think five or six straight 30 possession games. He started the season slowly. Do you feel as if after a restricted pre-season, he's really back to his best now?
Yeah, no doubt. It took a few consecutive weeks, and his fitness base is obviously built. You know what it's like if you miss a chunk of pre-season. He didn't do a whole lot because of his hip. So, getting that continuity and training and playing, and he's actually back to his best form. So, he's really good on the inside, but he can also damage teams on the outside. So he's hard to match up on.
Brad, you are the forward line coach at the GWS Giants. Can you explain to us what happened to Jeremy Cameron for a period there? He started the season in such blistering form, hit a quiet patch, but he wasn't able to hit the scoreboard too often. Can you tell us what was it? Was it injury? Was it just a bit more work going into him? Did he just struggle for form? What was it that... And will he bounce back tonight and kick a bag?
I'd like to think so, Lee. Absolutely. No, I think it was a combination of a few things. He's a bit banged up. He plays it pretty hard. We obviously saw he was pretty banged up in the Hawthorn game. He ran into the fence and he just had a few little niggles that were trying to get the best of him. And, he struggled for a bit of form as well. So he's actually fit and firing at the moment. He's trained really well for 2 weeks. And last week he was probably feeling really good and couldn't capitalise and didn't play that well, But we're looking forward to him responding.
As the forward line coach, you'd be happy you're going into the season and hopefully some players stand up. You want Jeremy Cameron to do that. Obviously, Himmelberg's done that. But another 25 goals added from Finn Lason. You probably weren't expecting that leading into round one.
Absolutely not. No, he did a pre-season down back. And we've always known that he's been a real prodigious talent. He's just done some things at training. You just kind of go, whoa, where'd that come from, And to swing forward and do what he's done, I think is a credit to him. He's just had a thirst to learn the position. He played a fair bit of forward as a junior, but you know it's like coming in the AFL system, it's a bit different. But you just see what he's like athletically. If you can get it in the air and be as good on the ground, he's pretty hard to play on. So he's been a revelation, like you said, and just hopefully you continue that form on for the rest of the year.
Brad, what about Brett Deledio? I mean, he moved on from Richmond. They went and won a premiership. He's had so many calf setbacks. It's great to see him out there. What do you get from him?
He plays that traditional sort of link-up centre-half forward role because he's so smart with his positioning. He can actually put himself in spots to always be there when a kicker gets his eyes up. Where the young key forwards that we've got, they're learning to play together and they're fairly dynamic, whereas Lid's positioning on the ground, he always allows that, 25-metre hit-up, which then allows our forwards to go to work inside 50. So he's been really crucial, and for him to be able to string, 6, 7, 8 games together has been outstanding for us, and we've got to be smart with how we manage him in the second half of the year because we need him when the whips are cracking later on, that's for sure.
Now, Brad, just a lighter one to let you go. The man with you, Michael Roberts, probably thinks he's the best-looking man in Australia through the early 80s to late 80s period.
Good.
You had your own domination, early 2000s,
yes.
Late 2000s. How did you feel your reign as the best-looking man in Australia went?
Brownie, he's up. Come on, give us a spell. I'm next to Mickey Roberts. He's glowing down here.
He always glows. I don't think it's natural.
Good on you, Brad. Have a all the best tonight for the Giants. Could be going to be a cracker against the Bombers. All the best.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Brad Miller down there, and best looking man in Australia for a while.
He's an extraordinary looking man, Brad Miller.
Yeah.
And Robbo, they would have been looking at each other, going, I feel pretty comfortable in this company.
Who's best? You or me? That sort of conversation.
Yep.
Brody Grundy, let's talk a bit of Collingwood. JZ Clark, where's he at? Obviously, a lot of talk about him. Isn't it interesting? Round 15 of the season, there's so many stories swirling around, not just coaches, but players as well.
Well, he's probably one of the top three or five most influential players in the competition at the moment. Extraordinary in the second half against the Bulldogs. Look, he is worth, say, $1.2, $1.3 million a year. Collingwood have tried to sign him up on a shorter-term deal, a two-year deal, three-year deal, but Brody clearly wants a 6 or 7 year blockbuster deal. So that at the moment is being put on hold, and it means he'll go into next season as a free agent. And that means he's up for grabs, just like Steve Cornelio, for any club who want to secure him without giving up anything in a trade. Look, I still think he will stay at Collingwood, but it just means there's going to be some nervous, months ahead, particularly as Adelaide potentially look to do something, even maybe Carlton, could probably do with a long-term ruckman. So I think he will stay, but he's resisted the overtures at the moment in order to secure a fatter, longer contract.
He doesn't strike me as a man who would take up the free agency deal and leave Collingwood for nothing.
No, well, I think he loves the place, and he's got such a strong relationship with Nathan Buckley. So I think that will be the telling factor in the end. But when you get big bucks...
He's in a great position. He can use that as leverage, Brownie, and I think that's what he's doing. Because as we said, he's in the top three best players in the competition. He's at the peak of his powers. He can leverage for as much as he can try and squeeze out of the club. And Collingwood are probably... Their salary cap would be struggling at the moment, wouldn't it? Like, they wouldn't be able to pay massive money. They're already paying about six or seven other players huge dollars.
Tighter than your pants at the moment, Joe. It's fair to say.
That is tight.
Well, there's not much room. There's not a lot of room then.
They added Dane Beams in the off-season. They've had to shuffle a few things around. So it certainly is tight. They don't have a lot of wiggle room to play, and maybe they lose someone. So we'll see what happens there.
Hey, statistics, Jay-Z, they can be made to look, can be made to look how people want them to look. But the AFL do their own studies. Concussion between 2017 and 2018 was up by 15%, I think it was. So ramification of that, or is there a ripple of concern?
Yeah, it is a concern, Baz. I mean, it's probably one of the biggest issues in football at the moment. The AFL released their injury medical report, and that relates to last season, 2018, and you're right. So concussions, that was the big one, jumped up about 16% from 63 in 2017 to 74 instances of concussion. So, yes, clubs are leaving players on the sideline longer to recover from concussions, I think, which is a good thing. But what the issue they will explore from here is, why are the instances of concussion going up? So is the game becoming more explosive, more combustible, more combative, Joey? Could that be the reason, or is it just luck? I mean, it's a hard thing, but clearly with the legal ramifications around concussion at the moment and possible links with mental health, it's a doozy of an issue at the moment.
Yeah, I probably think it's more to do with the reporting of what classifies as a concussion, and you said the precautionary tales that most clubs are taking now with those sort of instances.
But on that, Joey, do you think they were any less cautious?
I think that each year they're getting more and more cautious. Okay. I do. I think that each year they're getting more, we're understanding more about concussion. They're being more cautious and taking more precautions. So I think that might contribute to why it looks like there's been an increase.
Paz, at the start of this break, we had a bit of a silence. Yes. I was talking to the producer. Yeah. No idea what you were talking about. And normally when that happens in radio, your teammates sort of jump on the grenade for you, don't they? They sort of jump in there. Because they do know what you're talking about, or exactly. I don't. Yeah. And how was the absolute cricket from Nathan Brown and Lee Montagne?
Sort of hanging there,
could have just jumped in, couldn't they?
Absolutely. No. We just looked at you blankly.
Work at Triple M.
I've been told when the ball's kicked to you, it's yours only. No one else will let it go.
If you want support, go to another station.
I didn't want to steal your thunder.
Oh, no. Jay-Z, let's talk a little bit of North Melbourne. Of course, looking for a coach, and the spotlight seems to be shining a little bit on Brady Rawlings.
Yeah, big coup for the Kangaroos today, Baz. It appears they've got their man, Brady Rawlings, to be their new footy boss. So he replaces Cameron Joyce. West Coast not thrilled about this development. Brady's been their list manager since 2016 and done a fine job. Played a key backroom role in their premiership last year. So he is highly rated and very popular, but one of North Melbourne's favourites Suns. And it seems quite clear to me that as part of this next chapter for North Melbourne, they're wanting to get back former greats of the club, that shinbone of spirit or North Melbourne fabric or whatever it is. Clearly, they've got their sights set on John Langmire, but the first step in this whole coaching, list management, footy department overhaul is securing Brady Rawlings. And people at North Melbourne, absolutely thrilled to get him. He's highly respected. There's going to be some awkward negotiations now between North Melbourne and West Coast over when Rawlings leaves the club and releases his from his contract, but I reckon that'll probably be sooner rather than later.
What sort of coach are they going after the Kangaroos? Obviously, to change mid-year is always a massive call. It has given them plenty of opportunity and scope to look forward at this stage of the season. So who's starting to stand out as the possible type of coach that North Melbourne are after?
Yeah, and Longmire's the one. I mean, they want, as we said, someone potentially with some North Melbourne blood who's an experienced and respected. So,
how many wins does Rhys Shaw need?
75% from here.
Does the question start being asked if they beat Collingwood? Because I think they're an outside chance. They've got Higgins out. Collingwood aren't playing great football, but North Melbourne is in pretty good form.
Yeah, it would buck the trend. I mean, I'd be surprised. If Rhys Shaw had been an assistant coach for 6, 7, 8 years, I'd think yes. But I just think
you can only do what you can do.
Yeah.
And if he does go at that 75-80%, he started brilliantly so far, it has to come into the equation.
It does. I reckon it would surprise me. I reckon Aratton, Voss, even Jade Rawlings, Johnny Blakey, a bit more experience, maybe ahead of him, but who knows?
I was going to say, what it might do is give the credentials of Rhys Shaw to other clubs. Maybe if John Longmire does leave, maybe if favourite son goes back to Sydney. I mean, Sydney Swans rate Rhys Shaw very highly. Another club might take a punt on seeing Rhys Shaw, but I think they're throwing their eggs in the one basket, aren't they? John Longmire, get a bit of that shinbone of spirit back. Brady Rawlings, it's clear their intent, and they can really sort of hone in what they are as a club. They're a bit of a boutique club. Yeah, they're a shinboner. Bring that back to life, and then they can really build. And
it's what they want, John Longmire.
Yep.
But do they get John Longmire? I mean, the Sydney Swans surely have a fair amount to play out in this. I mean, what you want is sometimes not what you can get.
The thing is, if it's a godfather offer, and we say it a lot, see, North Melbourne probably doesn't spend as much across its whole footy department, so they've got room to move, whereas Sydney don't have as much room to move. So if it's a, 1.5 to 1.8, million-dollar a year contract for John Longmire, it's got to be. I know he's got three kids in Sydney, but that if it's a $500,000 a year difference,
but it's got to not be about the money. You coach,
but $500,000, Joey, that's a lot.
You got to move for having your own reasons for wanting to a new challenge or to do something different or to want to come back to Melbourne. I don't think a coach is going to necessarily leave just purely for money.
$500 a year.
You're spending a lot of good money. It's going to be $500, is it?
A year. Like if it's 1.5 versus one,
it's good corn, Lee.
It's $250,000 after tax.
Joey, I've seen you spot.
No, the ATO walked in.
Well, he's on been on
creative accountants. He'll keep $350 of that.
All right. We'll say, I'm not sure. It'll be just for money. If he wants to move,
who's his manager?
Len Pickering. He'll get top dollar.
Pickers will get him $350. Don't worry about that.
Hey, good news for the Kangaroos. Cunnington re-signed.
So he was due to come out next year and be a free agent.
Yep.
So he clearly would have been targeted. But a big sign of faith from the hard nut midfielder. He's signed till 2022. So you can cross him off your list of blokes who might be available in this year's trade period as a way for North to get some more draft picks. So, you know, there's been talk about Higgins and others, Ben Brown, etc. It won't be Cunnington. He clearly wants to stay at North and a signed or 22, so he's going nowhere.
I like what Rhys Shaw's done, and I think this week against Collingwood is a massive test, and if they continue to play the game plan they are at the moment and they believe in what they're doing, it's a massive game for him. It's a massive game for him, I reckon, because they start to take notice. If they can knock off the Pies, everybody will start to have a look at Rhys Shaw.
How important is that for those sort of heart and soul players to re-sign? Like Ben Cunnington just puts his pen to paper and says, no, I'm done. I'm not going in for all that. Sign me up now.
Yeah, I think most players do re-sign and stay at the club. So I don't think there was any issue with that. Ben Cunnington is a heart and soul type of player. It is nice for that core group to sort of have that belief and to stick together, but there is still plenty to play out with the Kangaroos. There will be other guys that will wait and see who the coach is, what their future looks like, but Cunnington, great. And I think he's almost their best player. He should be an All-Australian this year. He's had an unbelievable season. He should get his first All-Australian gong.
I like the other side of the coin in that game, Collingwood and what they do with their three talls. So Buckley was furious with how they played at the weekend. And fair to say, although Reid played a good individual game as a collective, that didn't really work, did it? So it's going to be interesting over the rest of the season, the run home to the finals, Brownie, just whether they persist with that tall forward structure. They love Brody Mychek and his work rate, his mobility. But is it going to come down to Reed versus Stevenson? Reed versus Cox?
Look, I think it's a horses for courses. I think if they think that they've got the matchups there for three tools, they play the three tools. And unfortunately, someone might be in form and you might get to a final and Bucks might go, well, I think the side is better balanced this way. You're in pretty good form, but unfortunately, you're going to miss out this week. And it's a good position to be in. If you're putting players out who are in form for balance of your side, it's a pretty good position to be in.
I have to agree with Brownie. It's another card to have up your sleeve come finals time. You might want to play. You've got to have a look at it during the home and away season to know you've got that card you can play if you need it, depending on what happens with some of their other players. So have a look at it. Pick your best two if that's the way you want to go. But you know you've seen it, you've had a look at it, and you can go with it if you need to in a final.
Hey, the sides have come out, Jay-Z. Yep. We spoke on a couple of massive changes. Recap on those and some of the ins and outs from the other side.
Yeah, so Paddy Cripps and Harry Mackay both out for Carlton, which is massive. And Hawthorn have dropped Jared Ruffhead again, which will be the headlines tomorrow.
It says sore ribs in brackets next to Jared Ruffhead. Mm. So do you reckon that's just a little bit of a furphy? You think he's being dropped or could it generally be an injury?
Could be. Oh, if I was Hawthorn, I'd try and put an injury next to it too, Joey. Yep. I think for Geelong, two important players, Gary Rowan and Darcy Fort, are out. Noah Sava-Ratta-Galea. So they'll miss Rowan. Clearly, he's out with that concussion. We said Hawthorn youngster Oliver Hanrahan comes in along with Howe and Connor Nash. Out goes Morrison, Brand and Ruffett. As we said, two massive ins for the Eagles, Nat Nui and Willie Rioli. Out goes Jeremy McGovern and the speedster Jack Petricelli. Tommy Barras couldn't get up from his corked calf this week. Josh Dacos comes in for Jeremy Howe. He's been in very good form in the VFL.
Dacos.
Kyron Hayden, excitement machine, comes in for Taylor Garner, who, fair to say, he allegedly punched a bloke in a Sydney nightclub last weekend, broke his nose. Isaac Heaney from Sydney stepped in to sort of help out the victim and he's been cleared by Sydney. He essentially helped defuse the situation and assist the victim. So he's in no trouble. Taylor Garner is in trouble and he'll play in the VFL this weekend. And for Port Adelaide, in come William Drew and Peter Laddams, an untried ruckman, and St Kilda and Richmond. So a couple of big outs for the Saints. Dean Kent injured his quad today, out for 3 months. Jonathan Marsh is out. And for Richmond, Noah Bolter, Ryan Garthwaite, Jack Higgins, all out. But the cavalry comes back. How about these names? Asprey, Bolton, Cochin, Edwards, Lambert, Jaden Short and Ivan Soldo all into an extended squad for that clash on Sunday.
Ooh, big run into the finals, Brownie, for your old mob. The Tigers, if they can get a few back at this back end of the season.
Yeah, they are. They're not playing good enough at the moment to contend in finals and their percentage is a bit of a worry. They're going to have to win most games on the back end, but if they can get some players back, which they will, Rewald will be back. You know, he's not going to play this week in Matty's match, which is a shame, but he will be back and then it's how he and Tom Lynch coexist together. I still think they possibly make finals because they play enough games at the MCG. They play an extraordinary amount of games at the MCG on the run home, so it's in their hands clearly.
A huge game, no doubt, for the Giants as well, Jay-Z.
It certainly is, and look, a disaster for the Bombers, to be honest, Baz. This news has just broken, but Patrick Ambrose, who's been fantastic in defence for the Bombers.
Best defender.
Yeah, he's been terrific, hasn't he, Brownlee? He's out, he's hurt his quad in the warm-up, so a late, late change for the Bombers. In comes Aaron Francis, who's probably, let's be honest, probably down to sausage roll or half a pie, he's preparing to sit in the stands and watch the game.
Why
up
not?
There. So.
Hey, that's what I'd be doing.
Not everyone's like you, mate.
Miles Barr. No, he's quickly chucked
might
on the shorts.
A salad today.
Well, Ambrose would have been so important, Brownie, wouldn't he? Because who would he have taken, Joey?
He would have been Jeremy Cameron. Yep. He would have planned for Jeremy Cameron. And he's such an important cog in the back because it allows Hooker and Hurley to play more of that third man off supporting role. Ambrose is a lockdown. Now with Hooker, Hurley and Francis, who are all intercepting, zoning players, I'll tell you what, Himmelberg, Cameron and Finlayson, they've kicked 86 goals between them so far this year. Oh, I'm a bit worried now if I'm a Bombers supporter because I think it's a fill-up under the roof here. Perfect conditions. Geez, the Essendon midfield are going to want to put on a hell of a lot of pressure, Baz.
They are. They're good with their backs to the wall, though, Joey, the Bombers. It is a massive game. Essendon, of course, 10th on the ladder, 6 wins, 7 losses, and the GWS 3rd, 9 wins and four losses. Let's talk about the roof here at Marvel Stadium, Jay-Z, please.
Yeah, confirmation from the AFL that it will be kept closed, shut for the remaining day games for the rest of this season. Which
about
is what
time.
We've been calling for, haven't
for years. We've been calling for it for years. It's ridiculous.
So just repeat that again.
Yep, so
every
so
game.
The Marvel Stadium roof will be shut for every game, day and night, for the rest
Done.
Of the season.
Beautiful.
And if the turf can cope with it, you know, the reduced sunlight hours, well, I think we'll see that.
So what's changed? Years. What was the catalyst for that decision?
Well, we couldn't see, but
okay.
You watch the players,
fans,
yeah, the
commentators,
players could see.
Players,
exactly. You see the people, good people sitting at home watching the games couldn't see. It just it was a bit of a.
I like it open.
You like it open,
I like
Brandy.
It open, yeah.
Yep.
Brandy just likes being different. That's all it is.
I like that.
Well, you got a roof for a reason. We play an outdoor game. Yes, it's nice to have it indoor, but when the sun is shining.
No, it's not.
As a player, you make your lot, Joey. Is that, was it? Is it hard
yes,
to play?
Yes, it is. Yeah, just with the angle of the way, the angle of the stadium. You've seen players shield their eyes. They can't take a mark. It's ridiculous. We've got a roof. Let's keep it closed.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.